Thank you so much. I'm honored to be in your presence, and the presence of the living God is in this place. I walked on the grounds, and I felt like Moses. I should take off my shoes or something, because we are standing on holy ground. If you don't mind standing again and just joining hands with your neighbor, I promise the next time you get up will be on you. But there's such an atmosphere of glory in this place. I feel the presence of the Almighty God. And you have no idea whose hand you perhaps are touching. You don't know what that person has been through. You don't know what they had to go through to get here today. And by God's grace, we're all here and we're still standing. We've been through storms, we've been through difficulty, but we made it. We've been through sickness, we've been through challenges, ups and downs, but God has brought us. And I say to God be the glory for the things that he has done. Father, we worship you this morning because your name is great. There is none like thee in the universe. Oh, how sovereign you are, how holy you are, how majestic you are, how powerful you are. A God who is full of truth and mercy. Thank you for Jesus, who went to Calvary and paid a price that he did not owe because we owed a price we could not pay. Thank you that redemption is free through the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you that we are spirit-filled. I just thank you for saving us. I just thank you that we're not lost today. And I believe you by faith, somebody is about to get delivered. Somebody is about to be saved. Somebody is about to be filled afresh with the Holy Ghost. We thank you for all the wonderful things you have already done. Thank you for allowing us to see a brand new day. Thank you for including us in this day that you made before the foundations of this world. This is the day that you've made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your food. Thank you for your clothes. Thank you for the house that you allow us to live in. Thank you that our families are doing okay. Thank you for health and strength. As always, we thank you for what you did not allow to happen. Thank you for the heart attack that didn't happen. Thank you for the stroke that did not take place. Thank you for the marriage that did not end up in divorce. Thank you for the child that did not go to jail. Thank you for the job we did not lose. You are worthy to be praised. And your credit is so good with us until you can bless us later, but we want to praise you right now. Bless these hands that we hold right now. We squeeze victory into one another's life. We squeeze healing into one another's life. We squeeze favor and a double portion of your anointing into one another's life. I got a sneaky feeling that everything is going to be all right. We thank you, God, as something just shifted in this place and as you overshadow us with your glory, we ask that you would do the supernatural, do that which has never been done, that you might get the glory, transform us and change us, and bless Pastor Ronnie this morning. Use him like you've never used him before, as you have lifted him on eagle's wings. Thank you for the word that you have deposited in his belly. It is in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on, give God the best praise you can. Hallelujah. Come on, give him the best praise you can. Hallelujah. Wow, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I cannot believe that I'm standing in this place. As Pastor Ronnie said, for years I would sneak over here and I would just raid the bookstore. Pastor Dr. Ron Phillips was so nice, and he said anything he wants, just let him go in and get what he wants, and I would get all of his tapes and I would listen to him and preach him. And he came to preach at Olivet one time, and I said, what are you going to preach about? And he told me, I said, you can't preach that here. And he said, why not? I said, I've already preached that. And he named another one. And I said, you can't preach that. I preached that last week now. And I hadn't had the opportunity to go to seminary. He was my seminary. And he loved me and spoke into my life and many things and challenges that I faced as a young pastor. He was there for me. It was a fellow in the bookstore. I came in one day and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost? And I said, I think I have, I'm not sure. And he said, we're gonna fix this today. He said, take your shoes off. I said, take my shoes off. And next thing you know, he had oil and he was anointing my big toe and my thumb, and he poured oil on my forehead, and we was in there shouting and crying and praising the Lord, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost right in this church. And I just thank God for what this ministry means to me. And Pastor Ronnie is so incredible. And he is God's man for this hour. God has raised him up for such a time as this. To God be the glory for God loving you enough to give you such a gift in Pastor Ronnie Phillips Jr. Can we thank God for him? Amen. Amen. Thank God for Lady Adams. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate the Olivet Church family. I want to go right to the Word of God because as I walked in the door, God was speaking to me, and thank God for this incredible music ministry and Ken, my good friend. But it's Genesis chapter number 28, and the Lord spoke this word to me. And the Lord just simply said, the dream is true. He wants somebody to believe this morning that the dream is true. That there are things that God has been speaking to you, and perhaps you doubt whether it will ever come to pass. And God says, the dream is true. Somebody say, the dream is true. Verse 10, Genesis 28. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran and lighted, or he arrived at a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Can you imagine that? That he's sleeping on top of stones and lay down in that place to sleep, and he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I won't leave you, not until every promise is fulfilled in your life. You won't die until every promise comes to pass. And Jacob awake out of his sleep. And listen to what he said. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He said, I'm in the very presence of God, and I didn't know it. I've experienced God at church. I've experienced the presence of God when the choir sings. I've experienced the presence of God when ministers preach. I know the Word of God says where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. But Jacob said, this is different. I'm out here all alone, all by myself. And God is in this place. And I almost missed it. I knew it not. Because I didn't expect God to show up in places like this. I didn't expect God to show up in my circumstances. I didn't expect God to show up in my trials. I didn't expect God to show up in my problems. I thought he just hung out at the church. I didn't know he was in this place. Surely God is in this place, and I knew it not. Nobody ever told me that I could be in the hospital and I could be dealing with disease and battling cancer and God would be there. Nobody ever told me that I could be going through financial strain and I have more month than money and God would be there. Nobody ever told me that I could have a car accident and it wouldn't be the seatbelt and it wouldn't be the bag opening up that would save my life. It would be his presence that would save my life. Surely God is in this place. And he says, I knew it not. He goes on to say, this is the house of God. But wait a minute. He wasn't in a building. But yet he says, this is the house of God. But he's not in a building. He says, I have found God's address. He says, God's presence is here, and I don't have to be in a building. And he goes on and he says, I see the gate of heaven. Let's talk about this for just a few moments. The first thing that I want to point out to you is that when God's presence is with you, stones become pillows. Stones become pillows. Look at verse number 10. Again, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted, he just arrived, he just stumbled, one translation says, upon a certain place. And he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones, can you believe that, of that place, and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now imagine he's tired because he just tricked his brother and tricked Isaac to get the birthright. He's ran off with the blessing, but he finds out that blessings are not enough. The birthright is not enough if you don't have God's presence. And so here he is on the run, because once Esau realizes that he has stolen his birthright, Esau is mad. And you got to understand that Esau is a little bit on the wild side. He's a hunter. And his mother says, you better get out of here. You got an uncle down the road, Uncle Laban. You might want to go stay with him for a while until this thing kind of cools down. And many theologians believe that he has to travel about 500 miles, so he's tired. And he lightens, he arrives at a certain place. Somebody say he was tired. I want to ask you something, Abba's House. Have you ever went through a time in your life whereas you were tired? Now, I'm not talking about biological tiredness. I'm not talking about physical tiredness. I'm talking about your soul being tired. Emotionally tired. I'm talking about your spirit being tired. Tired of fighting. Imagine Jacob, who had to fight in his own mother's womb. He and Esau was wrestling and struggling in their mother's womb. He had to fight to be accepted by his father. His father loved Esau more than he loved him. So he fights because he feels rejected. Fights to get the blessings, fighting, even fighting with his own sibling, his own brother. Wonder if there's anybody here ever felt like your whole life you've just been battling with things. And you get to a place where you just feel tired and exhausted. And the interesting thing about it is you don't look like you're tired. You can come to church and you can put the mask on and people see you and they, you know, they shake hands with you, and we know how to be church politically correct. That's when people ask you, how you doing? I'm blessed. God has been so good to me, and he has. But have you ever wanted to stop and tell people the truth? I'm tired. And really be truthful, sometimes I'm tired of people. I'm tired of having to smile when I want to cry. I'm tired of lies. I'm tired of having to give explanations. I'm tired of not being appreciated. Anybody ever gone through that where you just feel tired, your soul tired, where you wake up in the morning and after supposedly sleeping all night, you're still tired in the morning, tired in the middle of the day? And it is because even when you lay down at night, your mind is still racing. And so he's tired. And then he's all alone. It seems like everybody has walked away from him. Have you ever went through a season in your life where it felt like everybody had abandoned you and you had nobody who really understood what you was going through? Let me say something to you. Loneliness is not the absence of people. You can be in a group full of people and still feel lonely. If you're around people who don't listen to you, around people who don't understand you. So he's tired, he's lonely, then he's in a dark place. You ever been in a place where you couldn't see your way through? You didn't know what was gonna happen next. You didn't know if I take the next step, is it gonna lead to blessings? Is it gonna lead to curses? And then guess what he does? He takes a stone and say, this will be my pillow. So you're making your bed out of hard things. Watch this. The stone becomes your pillow. I wonder, as I minister this afternoon, is there anybody here that's sleeping in a hard place right now? Sleeping in a hard place. Sleeping in a difficult place, sleeping in an uncomfortable place, sleeping in a place where you just can't get comfortable. I don't feel settled. I thought at this point in my life, I thought at this age, I thought I would be accomplished and I would feel comfortable. But here I am at this season of my life and I don't feel comfortable because I'm trying to sleep in hard places. Trying to sleep in a marriage that's not a marriage. I'm in a house that's not a home. I got a king-size bed, but I don't feel like going to sleep at night. A refrigerator full of food, but I have no appetite. Got a car, but I don't feel like going nowhere. What do you do when you're trying to sleep in a hard place? Lord, how do I sleep with my kids locked up in jail? How do I sleep when I got a child who's strung out on drugs? How can I sleep in this hard place? Tell me, Lord, how do I deal with this? Talking about laying me off a job. How? Peer pressure at school. I have the desires to go to college, but no money to go to college. I got the vision, but no provision. So I find myself sleeping in a hard place. Anybody ever been there? But I serve a God who knows how to take your stones and turn them into pillows. I said, I know a God who knows how to take your stones and turn them into pillows. He takes the hard places of your life and he turns them into pillars. Now, I'm not talking about pillows. I'm talking about a pillar. In verse 18, it says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and he took that stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, a memorial, a reminder, and he poured oil upon the top of it. You got to learn how to anoint your stones. God, I feel that in here. That went all over me. You got to learn how to look back the trials that you went through. See, everybody in here knows the 23rd Psalms, at least we quote it. I don't know if we all know it. But he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. And then he says, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. How did you miss that? One more time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because his presence, the Lord is with me. But after I get through this valley, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Last time, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil because God's presence, he's with me. And then he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over, which means you don't get your anointing until you make it through your adversity. The greater the adversity, the greater the anointing. And some of you have been wondering, why did I have to go through so much? Because God says the anointing that I'm going to pour on your life, I'm not going to do a little dab would do. I'm going to do it like they did it really in the Old Testament. I'm going to take a whole vat. I'm going to take gallons of that stuff. He says, I'm going to pour it all. See, most people don't want real anointing because real anointing will mess up your hairdo. See, real anointing might mess up your outfit. It might mess up your makeup. See, if you want to be cute, you might miss the anointing. But is there anybody here who wants the power and the presence of God so bad in your life that I don't care what I have to change, I don't care what I have to rearrange, mess up, God, what you want to mess up, just at the end of the day, I want to be yours and I want to walk in your power. Oh, we got to have his power. I can't raise my kids without his power. What our teenagers are dealing with in this day and time is not what we dealt with in our day and time. Oh, I need his discernment. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't just pray and then hope the pastor drop by the house and pray over my kids. I've got to be anointed myself. Come on, somebody. And you should look at your life with all the stuff God has brought you through. If you haven't realized that you are anointed by now, then shame on you. Anybody that's made it through all the stuff God has brought you through by now, you ought to know that there is an anointing on your life. As a matter of fact, the people that are sitting next to you, they're blessed just to get a seat next to you. I dare you to look at your neighbor and tell them, you're blessed just to get a seat next to me. You know why? Because he says, when he anoints my head with oil, my cup does what? Overflow, which means if you get too close to me, you're going to get in my stuff. That's why I kept hanging around your pastor. I got in his stuff. And that's why I run with Pastor Ronnie now. I keep getting in his stuff. He called me the other day, and you know what he says? I just got a heart for souls. I just want to see people saved and brought into the kingdom. Been so long since I heard that from a pastor. Because church now has become about everything else but God, and except about winning souls. And to hear a pastor on the phone crying with me, saying, Kevin, it's about the kingdom. I just want to, if I can just reach souls, if we can just reach souls. He said, it don't matter if they go to your church, my church. He said, listen, he says, I just want God to reach them. And he said, it ain't about trying to find people and tell them they need to do this and do that. You can't clean a fish before you catch him. You let God do the cleaning. I promise I won't keep you long, but can I tell you, at the church where God allows me to serve, I'm the chief servant of the house downtown, transit area, a lot of homeless people, we love them. and minister to them. They come in all the time. When we first started ministering, Matthew 25 ministry, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me bread. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. We first started doing that. Every now and then somebody would come in with alcohol on their breath, and one of the ushers would come and get me. They would say, "Pastor, need to talk to you." I said, what's wrong? I smell alcohol on that man right there. What you want us to do? I said, tell him to come in here with the rest of us who've been saved by the grace of God. And they kept on running up, telling me to one Sunday. I said, I need to make an announcement. I said, I want y'all to think about something. What if all of our sins had sense to them? What if hatred had a scent? What if racism had a scent? What if envy had a scent? What if lust had a scent? What if you were sitting up in church between Amazing Grace and How Sweet the Sound? And you had a thought in your mind and it released a scent. And somebody turned around and said, I know what's on your mind. You better thank God all of our sins don't have scents to them. And so I don't want to just be picking on somebody who has a different sin than mine. I believe God's power, he can change anybody. You know what I forgot to tell you? I think I will. When the Lord revealed himself unto Jacob, guess what he said? He says, I'm the God, verse 13, he says, and behold, the Lord stood above it, this ladder, which by the way is Jesus. If I go into that, you know, we have to stay too long. But John 1 and 51 says Jesus is the ladder. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. So since we could not get to God, God came to us. The incarnation, the immaculate conception, God says, I'm coming for you since you can't come to me. So he's the ladder that stretches from earth to heaven. And there were angels on it ascending and descending because Jesus, according to Ephesians, the Bible says, chapter 4 and verse number 9, he is one who first descended in the earth, the lower parts of the earth, that he might ascend and gave gifts unto all men. Verse 13 says, he says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, that's your father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. He didn't mention Jacob. Listen here. It usually go the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Jacob has, his relationship with God hasn't even been established at this point. And God still showed up. I'm going to preach to the people over here. I'll be right back. Jacob is all messed up. You got a messed up person in a messed up situation. It's a messed up night. The whole thing is messed up. And then God shows up. He didn't wait till Jacob got it all together because none of us can get it together without God. And in the midst of his mess, God showed up and says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac. And then he stops. He said, because you ain't even ready yet, but I still came to bless you. I still came to see about you. My presence still, I'll be right back. I am the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. Your ancestors, they knew me, and you getting ready to know me. But because you had ancestors who prayed for you, somebody ought to thank God that you had a praying mother. Somebody ought to thank God that you had a praying father, a praying grandmother, a praying grandfather. Come on. Oh, we're going to tell the truth in just a minute. While we were out there doing stuff we had no business doing, you ought to thank God you had an anointed mother and father that would lay before the Lord and say, Lord, you promised me. not only to me, but to my seed. I minister to some people in here right now. You're worried about your kids. Don't worry about your kids. Because not only is God going to bless you, he's going to bless your seed. They got a promise on their life, and maybe they don't even realize it yet. But God says, in the nick of time, just when it's the right time, God says, I touch them. He says, I bring them in. He says, I don't care what they're doing right now. He says, I just need you to trust me. I just need you to keep praying. I just need you to believe in me. He says, even if, oh God, I got a priest or somebody. They could be in jail. They could be in a dope house. He said, but when I get ready for them, so don't you judge me based upon what you see right now. Because God ain't through with me. I'm a work in progress. And as I was leaving the church, I saw a key. Y'all pray for me because I have no idea what this key goes to. I just picked it up. I said, Lord, I'm taking this key with me. And he said, I'm going to talk to you about this key on the way. And he said, look at this key, Kevin. He said, this key didn't used to look like this. He said the key maker had to file it down, had to chip away some stuff. It's got some high points, some low points. It's got some curves. It's not cute. It ain't handsome, but it'll work. I wish I had a praying church. And God says the reason why you had to go through so much is because he was fouling you down. He was chipping away some stuff. He was getting rid of some attitudes and getting rid of some stuff, some unforgiveness in your heart, some bitterness in your heart. But God said, I kept fouling you down. He said, because there's a door I'm getting ready to open. And he says, the door can't open until you realize that you are the key. I'm trying to preach to somebody in here. I feel God. I feel the power of God. Some of you said it when you was out here. It ain't about success no more. It's about significance. I spent most of my life struggling with significance, trying to find out who I am. I'm like, who is Kevin Adams? I was going everywhere. I'm going to be this kind of preacher. I'm going to be this person. And I told the church, sitting on gun barrel, getting a tie fixed, man walks in there and he says, we see you on television, me and my wife. He said, only reason why we watch you, one reason. He said, because you teach the Bible in a way we can understand it. He said, keep doing that, you'll be all right. God finally confirmed, he said, that's the key you are. He said, stop trying to fit in locks that you were never created to fit into. Some of you are frustrated because you're trying to fit in places that God never intended for you to fit in. You're not everybody's key, but you are somebody's key. Can I preach to somebody? Some of you in relationships, and you're wondering why you're so stressed out in a relationship because you're trying to fit in a place that you don't go. But when you find the right place, when you find purpose, when you find destiny, you put the key in the lock, there's a click, click. Stop dealing with people you don't hear no click, click. Hey, can we stop doing stuff in church? You don't hear no click, click. Some of you on jobs and you're miserable because you don't hear a click, click. Some of you got friends in your life and you're not comfortable around them because there's no click, click. But when God moves you in purpose, there's a click, click because a door is open. Now he says, after I open the door, it's your job to walk through it. When God is here, here it is, number two. The dreams are true. My God, the dreams are true. God told me to tell somebody in here, I can't preach what I see on the notes. God told me to speak to you prophetically that what he's been waking you up, showing you 2 o'clock in the morning is true. God said the things that he has been showing you about how to reach young girls, he said that dream is true. Your ministry to reach young boys that don't nobody else want to work with, he said it's true. Your ministry to reach the homeless is true. You're not always going to be struggling like you're struggling today. The reason why you can praise God, because God has already given you a dream, a vision of where you're going before you get there. So you can praise him right now in your situation because you can already see yourself coming out of the situation. Somebody shout, the dream is true. The business is yours. The land is yours. You're not going to believe this. Thank you, Lord. You're not going to believe. I decree this over this house. And Pastor Ronnie Phillips, he was just walking out of the office. And you know what he said to me? He said, I had a dream one day that you would be preaching at this church and I would be preaching at Olivet. And he walked past me and said, the dream is true. He said, there are things that I have been dreaming about for years. God has been doing it this year. And I knew why God brought us together, because there's things that's been happening at Olivet that we've been dreaming about for years, a school, a second location. Then all of a sudden, God this year just started doing stuff. And it's like Rhoda. You pray for Peter to get out of jail, but then when he's knocking at your door, you don't know what to do. Open the door. Let him in. Because some of us know how to pray for a blessing or answer, but we don't know how to receive the blessing. Somebody say, the dream is true. I'm almost through. Trust the preacher the third time, he say he almost through. The first two is just to keep you from walking out, keep your attention. I got to get you to see this. That was my second time. I got to get you to see this. Look at verse 13. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Is the lightning, the light's good here, because behold, I am the Lord God of Dr. Ron Phillips Sr. I'm also the God of Pastor Ronnie Phillips Jr. I'm sorry, I'm trying to see. Is that what it says? That's how we're looking at time. And he says, the land whereon you lie, he says, that's what I'm gonna give to you. What you call a hard place, God says, is a gift from me. And not only am I gonna give it to you, but I'm gonna give it to your seed. That generational blessings in this house. Your children won't have to struggle like you struggle. There's some things that you are doing and you don't even know why you're doing it, but it ain't for you, it's for the next generation. Can I preach to somebody in here? God is raising up a new generation that's different than how we are. They may worship a little different. They may receive it a little bit different. But God said, I'm your God. I'm your father's God. I'm your God. He said, but it's going to keep flowing down to your seed. And thy seed, I just received that in the Holy Ghost. God says, I'm going to bless your children and your children's children. God says some stuff that's been flowing through your whole family lineage, it stops with you. When you go to the doctor, stop claiming stuff. Cancer does not run in your family. Because the day you got saved, you moved into a new family. The day you got born again, you're in the family of God. And cancer does not run in the family of God. Can I get a witness here? And there's some stuff God, he raised you up because some stuff's supposed to stop. Divorce is supposed to stop. With you, there's some things you're supposed to close the door on. Poverty supposed to stop with you. My kids won't walk in some of the stuff that I walked in, because God says, I raise you up and I bless you to bless your seed. Some of you in here, God is blessing you, and you don't even know why he's blessing you. It ain't all for you. He's trying to give to somebody else, but he's just sending it through you. He won't send a blessing to you unless he can send a blessing through you. I'm with thee. God says, my presence is with you, and I'm going to keep you in all places. It doesn't matter where you go. And I'm going to bring you back to this land. He says, I will not leave you, come on, church, until I have done that which I have spoken. Every promise, he says, you're going to live to see it come to pass. Come on, praise God. Every promise. Now, wasn't that a whole lot God said to him? Now, you're not going to believe this. Look at verse number 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, I can't believe this, saying, God, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go. You know what he's really saying? I want your presence and I want you to keep me, protect me, because Esau could be out here hiding somewhere. And then he says, give me some bread to eat and some raiment to put on and let me go back to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Can I talk to y'all? You all. God lists all of these blessings and promises that he's trying to get his man, and he goes in survival mode. You gotta hear me. God said, I'm trying to give you land. I'm trying to give you generational blessings, transgenerational blessings. That's going to go to your kids, your grandkids. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to expand you from the east, the west, north, everywhere you go. You ain't got to look for favor because favor is going to be looking for you. And guess what he says? Thank you, God. Just be with me. Protect me. Give me some bread and a couple of outfits. I'm sorry, but just look at your neighbor and ask them, is that all you want? That wasn't the right person. Look at the other person on the other side and ask them, is that all you want? You in survival mode? You got the gate to heaven? You standing beneath an open heaven? And God is saying, I can do whatever. I can do the impossible. And all you want is some bread and a couple of outfits. Now unto him that is able to do that which is exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. God told me to tell you that you ain't seen nothing yet. God says that up to this point, you have just been served the appetizer. God hasn't even brought out the full course meal yet. God is getting ready to do so many things in this house. You got to praise him now. So you can't wait until it happens. I see miracles. I see souls. I see land. I see opportunities. You can't be in survival mode just sitting around waiting on the rapture. But the ladder is stretched from earth to heaven, and the angels are ascending and descending. So let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to heaven one day, but right now I'm trying to bring heaven down to my earth. You know what, Pastor Ken? I was reading the other day in the Bible, and it says in the book of Revelation, it says the leaves are good for the what? Healing of the nation, right? And then I read in 1 Corinthians 15, it says when we get to heaven, we'll have glorified bodies. I said, so who's going to need healing in heaven? No one. On earth. You preaching with me. On earth. You need it now. Streets paid with gold. You don't need no gold when you get to heaven. Ain't nobody going, no one's going to the movies. No one's going out to dinner. The main attraction in heaven is going to be the Lamb sitting upon the throne. If you need healing in your body right now, you need to be pulling it down. God says this church is beneath an open heaven. And God says the vision is true. God says what I have been showing you, sneak previews of a coming attraction. I've been showing you little clips, but God says you ain't seen the whole movie yet. Get ready, Abba's house. God has put something so big in the heart of your pastor. It started with Dr. Ron Phillips. If your vision can be lived out in your lifetime, it's too small. It should take 3 or 4 generations. It's got to be for Abraham, Isaac, and his seed. It's going to take several generations to live out all that God is going to do here. And you don't just want a couple of outfits and some bread. I came by here to tell you, get it all. I want everything that God has for me. Third time, this is it. I'm through. And you know what he said in verse 17? And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. I looked that up in the Hebrew. It means how awesome is this place? How incredible is this place? This is none other but the house of God. No building, none of that. He said, but I found God's address. I found him in my problem. I found him in my trial. And this is the gate of heaven. When you sleep on the rock and understand that the rock is Jesus, he's the rock of ages. He's the rock in the weary land. The heavens open and you got access to heaven, but you see it and you bring it down to earth. Stop settling for bread and outfits and start believing God for the supernatural, the impossible, big things that's so big that you don't even have enough faith to believe God for it. God actually has to climb in you and believe himself for his own miracle. But he's about to do it, and he's about to do it in your life. I want you to stand, because I'm believing God. Surely the Lord was, he's in this place, but I knew it not. In this place, God is about to destroy yokes. In this place, God is about to deliver somebody from an addiction. In this place, God is about to put somebody's marriage back together. In this place, your days of depression and anxiety are over. Surely the Lord is in this place. What you've been worried about, you came through these doors with worry. Some of us are dealing with fear. Fear of death, fear of insignificance. Lord, am I going to die before I get to see everything that you promised? Significance. Lord, do I really matter? Is all that I'm doing, all that I've done in my life, does it matter to anybody? Does it count? And God says, you're part of my plan. You are key that I'm using to open a door. He says, I got to use you, Jacob, because through you, all the families of the earth, they're going to be blessed. Listen, Abba's house, God is blessing this place because God wants to bless out of this place the whole city of Chattanooga. Out of Abba's house, God is trying to bless this nation. You wonder why your pastor's up sitting with presidents and praying for the presidents. Because God says, I'm touching nations right from here. God says, I'm touching the world right from Abba's house. God says, I'm giving you the east, the west, the north, and the south. You are standing beneath an open heaven. If there's anybody in this place that needs to believe God for a miracle today, I want you to leave your seat right there where you're standing. And I want you to trust God enough just to walk down to this altar right now. I want you to come right now. Surely the Lord is in this place. He's in this place. Come. You need God to move in your life. You need him to touch your family. You need him to touch your finances. Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to be saved. We're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. Jesus went all the way to Calvary and paid a price that he did not owe. Oh, he hung on the cross with nails in his hands, spikes in his feet. He said, "It's finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." "It's finished." There's some people in here. There's some people in here. God just said to me, "You have stopped dreaming." God says, "You put your dream on the back burner. You think you're too old?" God says, "Go dust that dream off." Because God says, like Zechariah, "You shall not die." God, I feel it. Come.